Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Influence podcast. I am your host, Fawn Chua, and with me on this journey again is the happiest person on earth, my co-host, Stacey McPherson. On this show, our aim is to break down the barriers of public speaking, allowing you to succeed and become the voice of influence. Now, over the last few episodes here, we've talked about lots of different things, from creating content to body language to the fallacy of feedback. Lots of amazing things. We have a few more episodes to go, and I can't wait. We have some pretty good themes and topics to take care of before this whole thing's over.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad to be doing this. It's so exciting.
So today we're going to be jumping into structure of speeches and then also podcasting. Lots of people are jumping into podcasting right now. And we've been getting lots of questions. Okay, how do we start? How do we structure our speeches? How do we get even things out onto the virtual space and all that kind of stuff? So we'll start with talking about the structure of speeches, because I think lots of people not only are... So we talked about the content creation, which a lot of people, what do I talk about? What do I talk about? We've dealt with that issue. The next thing is, how do we put that all together? Lots of people seem to go all over the place with their topics and their messages. What is your secret when you want to put in a good speech that's structured properly? What do you do?
Yes. So I'll talk about some of the pitfalls that I've fallen into and that I see other people fall into. And one of those is that people don't realize that the time is running out, and then they just keep going and they miss their conclusion. They just end and they skip their conclusion. Well, if you think about it, your conclusion is really the most powerful part of your speech, in the sense that it's what people will remember leaving your speech, because it's the most recent. And so if you recap your speech and kind of remind them of all of the great things that you talked about, that's power, because they'll remember it more. And that's one of the key parts about making a speech really good, is having it be memorable. So don't skip your introduction. And the way that you can do that is by having your structure be very clear. And Fong has mentioned in the past the way he kind of divides up his speech. Do you want to share with us any extra details about how you structure your speech?
Yeah, I will go through that. But first of all, I want to say that I totally agree with what you said, because lots of people are so focused on the content, the middle portion of that content, and then they kind of flub their way through their introductions and their conclusions. But the most important parts are those two things. Because if I ask somebody at an event, I'm like, what do you remember about that person's speech? Or what do you remember about her presentation? It's like, well, they started off very strong. Or, oh, I remember the last message or that last feeling. It felt great. Whether they remember the actual words or not, they remember how they felt when it began and remember how they felt when it ended. So therefore, everything in between doesn't really matter. However, it will get them to come see you. If they go, oh, wow, I felt really great, inspired at the end of your speech, I need to talk to that person again. So they'll come and find you after your presentation, after the show, whatever it is, and you could build that relationship again. So that, like I said, totally agree when it comes to the introduction and conclusion, which is why when I work on my structure and my speeches, I focus a lot of time on the introduction and the conclusion. And one of my templates is that, okay, first of all, this is a template I use if I'm struggling to put something together. And the first thing is, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then summarize by telling them what you just told them, right? So that's basically your intro, your body, and your conclusion. And with the introduction part, what I love doing is starting off the whole presentation or speech in one of three ways. One, I could start off with a few great questions that will be solved within my presentation. Two, start off with a great story to capture the audience into the scenario. And then three, come up with a really good quote that kind of binds everything together. And so those are the three ways I would start my presentation. Then I would kind of go and go broad. After I come up with the three questions, the story or the quote, I'll go, hey, society right now is blah, blah, blah. The problem right now is blah, blah, blah. People are facing these issues, blah, blah, blah. And those kind of generalize what I'm going to be solving later. Nice. So then I go, here's the solution to these problems. So I'm telling them what I'm going to be telling them. What do you think about structuring your introduction that way?
Oh my gosh, that's so perfect. I love it. I love the three things because that is so memorable. I bet even after people listen to this, they could remember what you said because it was so simple. It was like, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, then tell them what you said. It's just like so clear and crystal clear, but it's also so powerful. It's like really simple but powerful. And then I really like how you talked about those key things, having a story, having a quote, having questions at the beginning that you're going to solve, and then having that structure. So because a lot of times we do get stuck, we're like, oh, how I have so much I want to say. How do I say it? How do I organize it? And so if people just could write those things down and keep that in their file for the next speech they give, it really gets you out of that kind of writer's block or artist's block where you're like, I don't know how to say it. You know, I have so much to say. How do I say it? Or even I don't know, have enough to say, whatever your problem is, like those are really, really good. Yeah. So, and with your story, I really can't stress enough having stories in your speech. Like stories are so powerful. They engage, they help the audience relate to you because then they are all of a sudden they become the character in the story. And so they're immersed. It's an immersive experience. And it gives you the opportunity to bring in so much of your vocal variety, right? Your different voices and your different tonality and all of that. It can give you a lot of opportunity for that. And then also with your hands, you know, like you're so, there's so much more you can do with your hands when you're telling a story than if you're just saying these 3 points, one, two, three, you know, like this. It's like, you know, there's so much more you can do with your hands. And so just making a story can make your speech come alive. So I love that you said that.
Exactly. What's your preference? Do you like starting stuff with a very engaging story, or do you like starting it off with some questions to get the audience involved? What's your preference?
I like to get the audience involved. Whatever it is, it's like to get them just like on the edge of their seat. They're already curious in the beginning because they're like, who is this person? How's she gonna say it? So they're a little bit curious, but you've got to just really just dive into that and get them just so curious they're riveted. Like they are either very engaged because you've actually brought them into it, you've engaged them in some way by interacting with them, or you engage them by making something pique their curiosity. So I couldn't say enough about curiosity and using that to get that hook, you know, the people just really on the edge of their seats. It's so powerful.
Cool. So then after the introduction, we jump into the body of the entire presentation. And depending on what style of presentation you're doing, whether it's a how-to step by step, which is pretty self-explanatory, you go step one, step two, step three, step four. But if you're talking about a specific topic, let's say today's topic is about persistency, then you may want to come up with three or four stories about persistency, your personal stories, or stories about your clients, or stories about family members that can showcase how you can overcome persistency. And st using stories to tell and support that point is, I think, one of the easiest ways of doing it because it's your content. Sprinkled in with some, here's some tips or advice as to how you can actually implement it into your day-to-day life. And then what I love doing is if I had three or five stories, and I love using odd numbers when I'm doing points or storytelling and supporting documents and stuff. I like using odd numbers. I also like taking a look at which one is the most impactful, which story is the most surprising or exciting, and I put it into a chronological excitement kind of order. And I end with a bang. Like the last one I want to share is the best and most exciting story.
Yes.
And then I go into the conclusion. But with regards to the body element, what's your strategy? I like the going to the biggest at the end. I know there's some people out there who likes to start with the bang and then come down a little bit. What's your
Yeah.
preference?
Yeah, I like to keep the energy high because I'm a high energy person. Like I just gave a speech this last week and the comment from the MC was, wow, energy. Like I just bring in a lot of energy. So I would say I keep the energy pretty high. There will be moments in my story where there will be tension or suspense, or I'll lower my voice, and so we'll kind of get down and a little bit less energy to build it back up again. But I would say overall, I use a lot of the higher energy tactics. I just come across that way anyway, and so it's just I get really excited about these ideas that I'm sharing, and so I keep the energy high. I wanted to say one more thing about stories, and that is that stories are so easy to remember when you're giving the speech. If you're trying to remember a paragraph of data and main points and you know, these are the instructions for something, it's a lot more challenging to remember. But a story, especially if it's your own, if it's your own story, it's so easy to remember point by point by point. And so I would just say that's a hack for even speech delivery, that you don't have to memorize as much or keep that as much detail in your head, because it just, you know it, you know it.
And I love doing some transitions in between, like from story to story. Like, ultimately, you'll be very persistent if you follow this story. Or the first story I want to share is this. But not only this, the next story, like, you want to do some transitions from one to the other so that there's some connection points in there. I also like asking questions in between too, just to connect one story to another with the audience so that they're still engaged throughout the entire process. So then, after the body's done, now you go to the conclusion, which is one of the most important parts of your whole presentation, is to get them to actually feel something, to want to either take off action or to remember a message or whatnot. So therefore, what I like doing is now I go the opposite. Basically, it's the opposite of the introduction. From the introduction, I go wide and funnel in. The conclusion, I go funnel small and funnel out to be more generalized. So then I kind of summarize my 3, 4, 5 points or whatnot. And then I go, this is obviously what we need to do to solve the problems that I outlined at the beginning. And then I would end with either a quote, a call to action, some questions for the audience to remember by, or one lasting image or thought, so that it kind of leaves them with something to think about or do. What do
Yes.
you think about your conclusions? How do you like to formulate those to be more impactful?
I love how you talked about having that call to action. Like, seriously, if you're going to have the most impact, it's have something simple, something they are capable of doing right now that they could do as an action step to implement what you just taught. Like, it's so powerful, because we can just listen all day and have it come kind of in one ear and out the other, and it's just like not as impactful. But if there's something that they're like, oh, that's the thing I want to do, and then they do it, that just links their actions to your speech, and then it's much more memorable. So I love how you brought in the call to action, and then also like a photo, a symbol, or something that's very memorable. I love that. So those are things that I do too, and I think that with the conclusion, it's really just kind of getting them to refresh their memory, even if it's just a 5-minute speech. Believe it or not, you still need to refresh their memory, because they will have kind of, their mind may have wandered a bit, or they just don't have it clear in their mind. And so by having that conclusion where it's just really clear and they have it in their head right after you finish, it just really makes it more, it ties it all together, doesn't it?
Exactly, for sure. Like, when you tie things together, it gets people to really, oh, the stuff they said at the beginning still is relevant to what is being talked about right now. So I personally like how, especially stories or presentations, where all of a sudden the last moment of that speech is tied up with the very first moment of that presentation. And that's why people go, oh, I remember their intro and I remember the conclusion, because of that tying together.
Nice, nice. I love it. That's
Now,
awesome.
for you, what do you do with regards to structuring the time? So, for instance, if you were given a 7-minute presentation slot or a 15-minute slot, how do you like to break that up for your conclusion, your body? Do you pick one story to last the whole thing, or do you pick many stories? What do you like doing?
Yeah, usually many stories. I like it. People's attention span is getting shorter and shorter. Like, people, it used to be that we could read a whole National Geographic article with only one or two pictures. Now, National Geographic is all pictures, and there's just a very small amount of text. Same with museums. And if you look at our social media, we used to have, you know, blogs and things like that, and now it's kind of more of the videography, like catch your attention, and then we go to TikTok that's just like a few seconds, and then reels that are just a second. And so, like, we think about our attention span as consumers of information, we're getting used to these shorter and shorter increments. So I would say make things you know, shorter, have the story be powerful and impactful, but have it be not as long. So several stories to drive home a point might be more, it might be easier to keep the audience's attention. So I would do that. And then also with just kind of making it be, have it. So we talked about transitions, and transitions are really important. And they, what they do is they help the whole thing make sense. So that's what you want to think about when you're giving your speech. Because some people are like, this story tells the message and this one tells the message, and people will just make the connection in their mind. But you really need to connect things for them. You need to give them the opportunity to make the connection on their own. So that provides some of that curiosity and suspense. Like, why is she telling this story? But then you need to connect it and have those transitions and make it make sense for them, because it otherwise it will feel kind of disjointed and be like confusing. So that those are some things I would say about that.
Awesome. For me, I found that sometimes, like, I'm sure lots of people out there, when they do presentations and they do seminars or conferences, they would like to be able to stand out from other people. So you may want to consider, okay, if there's going to be 5, 10, 15 speakers out there, all one after another, and you kind of get a grasp that everybody's going to be doing, well, here's point number one, here's point number two, here's point number three, you might want to go and do something different and do, here's a full story. But if you notice that lots of people are doing stories, then you might want to go, here's three of the biggest points, and you kind of reverse that style, just so that, oh, everybody's like, hey, everybody's doing this way, you're doing another way, and the audience will go, wow, that's a little bit different, I remember that a little bit better. So sometimes you may want to see what's being presented before you go one way or another. And that's why you may want to have either a whole bunch of stories ready, or you may have one story that you could tell for a longer period of time ready, so that you kind of mix and match as you need it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I want to just also say something about being memorable. We want to be memorable for something we want them to remember us by. We don't want to just be memorable, because you can be memorable, but in a bad way. You know what I mean? Like, you can come across as not the way you're intending, and it doesn't support your message. So just being memorable isn't like an end all be all. If they remember you, that's what you want. You actually want to be remembered for something that supports your message, and remembered in such a way that builds your credibility. So that's just an added little tip.
Exactly. Now, for people out there who are left-minded and would like more of a formula for the structure, so for instance, let's say you have a 7-minute speech. I generally like to spend maybe a minute, or maybe a minute and a half on the introduction, a minute and a half in the conclusion, and then the rest I would just divvy up evenly into three paragraphs or three body segments. So if you have a story, usually that story is about 2 minutes long. And if it's more than 2 minutes, then you may or may not want to have three stories, because then now you're just speeding, you're rushing through your three stories. And when you rush through your stories, that impact is no longer there. So if that's the case, you may want to just go with the, I'll just do one big story and let that story kind of grow when you're telling it, if you only have a 5 to 7 minute segment. Now, if you have a 10 to 15 minute segment, now you could spend maybe 3-4 minutes per story. That gives you a lot of breathing space so that you still have time for a strong 1.5-2 minute conclusion, 1.5 minute to 2 minute conclusion. So kind of look at your time allotted for your presentation, and break it down as you see fit, so that you can have the time for it to really grow and have the audience absorb that information. So.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Very good. Yeah.
Cool. Now, I know there's questions out there about podcasting, because everybody wants to get into podcasting. It's a great way to build relationships. It's a great way to network as well. What's your experience with podcasting, and then your experience with being a guest and interviewing people?
Yes, you're so right. It is the way to build relationships, and especially to build relationships with people that may not have time in their schedule just for a casual chat, or they may not be the type that really gets excited about someone saying, hey, I just want to pick your brain for free, you know? But if you offer a podcast slot in your podcast, you are offering value to them, and it's valuable to you. I love that about podcasting. It benefits both people so much, and it also opens doors to new relationships. I know you have a lot of experience with podcasting as well, Fong. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Totally agreed. I mean, if I remember, without the podcast, trying to get people to kind of jump on a Zoom call with you was a lot harder. Just because like that, yeah, let's sit and chat, and then all of a sudden they go, well, what do you want to talk about? Oh, I just want to pick your brain, know more about what you do. And they're like, we'll get in touch. I'm like, okay. And then you might not hear from them again, kind of thing, right? However, the approach now is like, hey, you know what? I've been seeing your social media. Your content is absolutely amazing. I think your message and the stuff that you share is so important for people to know that I would love to have you on my podcast so I could showcase you and feature you so that you can get your message to more people and really just get people to know who you are. Is it okay we jump on a Zoom call and get that recording done? Because I would love to feature you. And all of a sudden, the yeses come in a lot more faster.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. I love how you complimented them while you did it in just a seamless, genuine way. But also, it makes sense because you want to build your podcast. So the people you are inviting are someone who you see add value to your audience. And so it is a compliment to be included in your podcast. So that's really, really good. Tell us
Exactly.
kind of
And
your story. Yeah, go ahead.
from a relationship standpoint, not only are you able to build that relationship with that person, but it allows you to build a relationship with their audience too. So
No.
there's a good chance that if they have a podcast themselves, that they will return the favor and go, hey, would you like to be on my show? I'm like, oh yeah, of course I do. Knowing
Yes.
that, hey, that's why I wanted to ask you to begin with, because I want to be on your show, kind of thing. So then
Yeah.
now you get to be connected to their audience. When you both post your episodes out, or you promote your episodes, you tag each other, and you're able to reach out to other people who you may or may not have known to begin with. So then I personally, I love being able to connect with more and more people. And by doing the podcast, it allows me to connect with people from all over the world, different time zones, different industries, different cultures. It's a great way to really get out there and get to know people without having to, fly across the world.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so good. Diversify your network, diversify the people you're exposed to, and I love that. I love that. That's so great.
So when it comes to podcasting, for yourself, what type do you like most? Do you like to have a set bunch of questions? You like to go just freestyle and just see what happens? What's your preference from an interviewer standpoint and an interviewee standpoint?
Ah, very good. Well, I would say number one is I like it to sound like a conversation that's kind of where we connect the questions. Instead of just, okay, here's a question. Okay, I finished that one. Here's a question. I finished that one. Instead of kind of being question answer, I like it to feel more come like you're having a conversation. And so you're creating kind of segues into the next section and making it make sense. And I love it. I love it when they build on a question where the question starts and then they bring the next question is a follow on because that's what people get curious about, right? They're following and they're like, well, ask her where she did that, or ask her how long she did that, or ask more details about it. Because some interviewers tend to have a script that they go on and it's just like it's like you're starting stopping. It's just like not as fluid and comfortable. So I like to do it the more conversational, casual, and making those segues and connections both as an interviewer, and that's my preference of a way to be interviewed as well. And you do a fabulous job on this, Fong, and I've even heard you kind of give advice to people on to do their podcast in such a way that it makes it connect, and it also brings out the natural curiosity that people have because they want to know more about the thing that they just said instead of, okay, stop that. Let's shift gears over here to this. So,
Well, thank you very much for that. And I think for me, and you've heard this before from like our coaches, is that ask questions that you yourself is generally interested in finding out. And I always have, that's why sometimes in my podcast, I ask completely random questions that has nothing to do with the theme, just because I want to know. Like, for instance, I know I had some interviews with UFC fighters and Olympic champions, and I go, how does it feel to have the whole country cheering you on? Like, I personally want to know what that feels like. Or what does it feel like to be punched in the face? And do you rather get punched in the face or go bankrupt? It was, oh, punched in the face all the time. Depending on what their experiences was, right? So it's interesting to ask those qu types of questions to go off script once in a while, just to change things up. For myself, I don't have a set bunch of questions. However, I know what type of questions I would like to find out just on the theme of what my show is. So based on their first answer, and my question is usually, hey, how did you get to where you are today? From there, I could branch off to so many different questions that would still fit within the theme. Now, if I am like really, really struggling with regards to what kind of question I could come up with next, I have like a go-to three or four questions that I can always bring up, but always have a good transition from their last answer towards that question. So it doesn't seem like I'm not listening to them at all, kind of thing, right? You would like to rephrase some of those answers to give it more of a conversational piece so that they feel that they were heard.
Yes. And I think it's really important when you kind of have a background on the person, instead of just asking someone out of the blue, you don't know very much about them, to actually do some research, do your homework, look to see if they've been on any other podcasts, kind of get to know them, because then your questions will be so much more rich and full-bodied. Like they'll just be, you'll have insights into their life, and so you'll kind of know already what their focus is, and so you can bring that out. So I would recommend that you kind of learn about them but in advance, yeah, before
And
you
I think the easiest way to show that you've done a little bit of research and a little bit of background is pronouncing the person's name right.
yes.
Especially if they have some a name that's like very difficult usually, and you've spent the time finding out how to say it, they usually catch on right away and go, "Wow, you did your homework." I'm like, "Yes, I did."
Yes. If I have any doubt at all, I would, and if I can't find them on other sources, I will actually message them on Facebook and say, "Hey, do you mind doing a quick voice message, audio message for on the chat, and just say your name?" And it's like some people are like, "Yeah, I really appreciate that," because then you get the nuance of it, the intonation of it, not just the way that you would say my name, but the way I would say my name. So I love doing that.
So, because we were talking about structure of speeches, I figured we could share a little bit about structure of podcasts as well. For myself, it's very, very similar to a speech, I find. I have a very, very strong introduction. I try to give, and we talked about power introductions a couple of episodes ago, making the person feel like a rock star when they
Yes.
get introduced into your show so that they go, "Wow, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Let's do this," kind of thing. And when I do my introductions, I love seeing their face light up because they don't expect that. I've seen previous episodes of other interviews that they've done and all that kind of stuff, and sometimes the introductions are so lackluster, so energyless, that they're like, "Hi, yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me." But when I finish mine, they're like, "Wow. Yeah, let's get going. Let's have fun and all that kind of stuff." So the introduction is very, very important. All the questions in between, obviously, you would like to ask questions that are one important to you or something that you're curious about, and allowing them to showcase what they are good at and what their credibility is. And then finally, I love concluding with some random questions just for fun to lighten up the mood, get them out of that serious mode if they were in that serious mode, and make them laugh. So I love the impromptu stuff, which we talked about before, improv stuff, so that at the end of the day, they go, "Wow, what a great feeling. They had fun. They're all smiles." And they'll go, "Wow, that was a great experience. Thank you very much." And they'll either refer me to somebody else to get interviewed or to be on their show or to be on their shows too. So that's how I like to structure mine. For you, how do you like to see interviews done, or how do you like to see a podcast done so that you're engaged into it?
Yes, I think it's powerful to kind of know your audience as well, because if you just kind of go about it in a way that might not be like answering the questions the audience has. So think about the audience and actually reference the audience. Sometimes it can be awkward because you're talking to each other, but there's a whole audience out there. And so if you mention the audience and bring them in and say, "I'm sure our audience thinks this," or, "And I love how you started this and talked about the questions that we've been getting, because you and I have been creating this course and we've been letting people know about it, and the people have questions that they're coming to us for." And so to mention, "These are the questions people have." We're bringing the audience in. And so I think that's a powerful way to make it be impactful, not just for each other, because we focus quite a bit on each other, right? The relationship and so forth. And we mentioned the audience, but to really think about the audience in advance and be like, what do they care about? What are they interested in? And who is this audience in the first place, because sometimes people will invite you to be on their podcast and it's all about business and entrepreneurs, and they'll come in and they won't have stories or analogies that relate to the audience. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe their audience is a bunch of homeschool parents. And so then they bring in all these business examples and they're just kind of falling flat. So kind of know the audience, know what their questions or their problems that they want solved, and just kind of know a little bit about that.
Exactly. And for people out there who are, let's say, an introvert, podcasting, one, is the easiest way to jump out of your comfort zone, because half the time you ask a question and you sit there and go, interesting. So then you actually don't have to speak that much.
Oh, totally. Yes, it's true. It's true.
Once you get more comfortable, then you can start adding more stuff into it. You can ask more engaging questions, but it's the easiest way to break out of that comfort zone of being an introvert and going out there and asking questions.
Yes, I have a question for you. So what advice would you give someone who wants to start a podcast, but they're feeling overwhelmed? What are some ways that you could help them reframe it or see it as something that they should do?
Well, for people, like I said, if you're a person who wants to go out there and connect with people, build relationships, get out of that shyness that you always say is detrimental to your success or you getting promotions and all that kind of stuff, start a podcast. And whether it's, and interviewing people would be the easiest way of doing it, because you spend half the time sitting there listening to them talk and rephrasing what they said. So you don't actually have to come up with content. Right? Because most of the time you're so afraid of what you're going to say. But in this case, you just pitch them a question and your interviewee will actually give you the content. So it's the easiest way to do it. The second thing is to find somebody who you already are familiar with so that you are comfortable just having conversation with them. Now, does it have to be an hour long? No, it could be 15 minutes if you like. It could be 20, it could be 30, 45, whatever timeline you want. And eventually, once you get more and more comfortable, you might go longer. You might go an hour. You might go 2 hours, depending on how engaging and how willing that person is willing to share information and stories with you. And you will find that the more they're willing to share is the more comfortable they are and the more comfortable you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would recommend. If people are still kind of going, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, the thing is, number one, if you are a person who wants to break out of that shell and connect with more people, build relationships, add value, and be able to become a better speaker, start that podcast. It's very easy. I mean, within 15 minutes, we can have a podcast live from scratch, right? You just upload the video and all that kind of stuff and you're done. And it's already on all the platforms. It's a free platform and all that kind of stuff. So it's very easy to start. So if you're one of those people, just go out there, start it, and watch other podcasts to see how you want to form it and structure it.
What platforms do you recommend?
Well, there's the, I use anchor.fm. So once you upload your stuff on Anchor, it automatically appears on Apple, Breaker, Beanpod, and Spotify. Like there's a list of 10 different distributions where it would actually go automatically on those platforms. So it's a free platform. And then as you grow your audience, you can start doing ads, you can start making it monetized. The opportunities are all there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's really good. I have a question from an interviewee standpoint. What do you do if someone's interviewing you and then they do a kind of a summary and they summarize it in their own words and they get a key point wrong or like, yeah, wrong? What do you do?
Depends on how wrong it is. If it's really, really wrong, I might go, well, thank you very much, but and just kind of rephrase it or kind of repeat it so that it's corrected. But if it's very minor stuff, I usually just let it go.
Let it go. Because it's important to keep that feeling of connection with your interview, the two people. Like, that's important that you don't be like, you did that wrong.
Because not only are they trying to, like, the host's job is to make you feel like a star, but as the interviewee, you don't want to be disrespectful to your host. Right. So therefore, any chance of making them shine, you should be able to do so, or you should do so. And calling them out on a mistake probably is not the best.
Yeah.
However, if it's something like your name or something minor that you can make fun of and
Yeah.
know that the interviewer is a person who could take a joke and have fun with it, then you could probably just have fun with it.
I
And
love that. That's
then
great
it's
advice.
okay. But if it's if somebody you don't really know very well and this is the first time and you know they're very what do you call it? Systemized and serious and all that kind of stuff, you may not want to joke around with it, right? So you just might want to let it go.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good. Yeah, because it's something that can happen. So,
Totally.
yeah.
So yeah, that's podcasting in a nutshell, I think. And I think for people who wants to get started with regards to structuring speeches, structuring your podcast, getting guests, I think that's a great way to start for people. Just go out there and start doing it. And you'll find that you're going to open so many more doors, open so many more relationships, and you'll get to a lot farther along than you ever could have imagined. So I highly, highly recommend it.
Awesome.
Great. So that wraps up our episode for today. We talked about the structure. We talked about podcasting. I think our final episode is next in a couple of days. And we're going to talk about the getting paid engagements for speaking and, of course, accountability when it comes to speaking as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yep, stay tuned.
Awesome. So remember again, when you speak with confidence, you have the voice of influence. We'll see you later.